Hello everyone, and welcome back to A Cup of English. The title of your podcast today is Learning in the Past. My name is Anna, and I bring you A Cup of English a few times during the week, and you can follow along with the text and grammar notes at acupofenglish.libsyn.com. Learning in the Past. I was fortunate enough the other day to go on a field trip. School that my son attends. As his school doesn't have a bus, parent volunteers are needed to transport the kids here and there. I'm one of them, and you know, I benefit from volunteering in many ways. That particular day, I learned a lot about Wenatchee Indians and the pioneer days of this area. We visited a museum in the town of Kashmir, which is about 8 miles from here. It's a small building, but jam-packed with artifacts and donations. I had been to the museum before, but this time we had a very knowledgeable guide who happened to be a Native American Indian. As time went on, he took us from one display area to another. I began to realize that he had a deep knowledge and deep personal interest in the museum. He was half Cherokee and half Sioux, and knew not only about those Indian nations, but also a lot about the Wenatchee nation. He told us that the baskets that were made by Wenatchee women were worth thousands of dollars. He went into detail, telling us how they would gather the grasses, chew them, dye them with berry juice, and then weave them. These baskets were made so well that they could carry water. In fact, the Wenatchees would boil water in the baskets by placing boiling hot stones from a fire inside a basket full of water. That kind of information, and the many other things that I learned, gave me a new respect for the history of this local area. Then we moved to the outside area of the museum, where there's a collection of original pioneer homes. There was a home, a jail, a hat shop, a print shop, a school, and a hotel. My son's class loved the school. It was obviously very basic, all wood, dark, it had a stove, small chalkboards for the students, and a metal bucket that everyone drank out of. The guide told us that school was only available for a few months every year. During winter, it was too cold, and as all the children helped to farm, they couldn't go to school during planting or harvest seasons either. My son thought that that was great. Only a few months of school? Awesome, he said. If children could basically learn to read and write and do a little mathematics, then the main goal was accomplished. Their lives were agricultural and they were hard working, so school was considered a luxury. How different it is today. Okay, let's look through some of these expressions. The first one, number one, to be fortunate, lucky, or unlucky enough. The use of enough is the important point here. It speeds up a sentence that could otherwise be a little awkward. Listen to the examples. I could write, I was fortunate, I got into the theatre for free. So I could use two short sentences. Or I could write it this way. I was fortunate in that I got into the theatre for free. That's one sentence, which is better, but still it's a little bit awkward, the use of in that. Instead, with the use of enough, we can say, I was fortunate enough to get into the theatre for free. Let me say that again. I was fortunate enough to get into the theatre for free. And my point here is that it flows nicely with the use of enough. Let's hear another example. B. She was unlucky enough to miss the bus, so she was late for work. She was unlucky enough to miss the bus, so she was late for work. So we use enough, and it's often followed by an infinitive form of a verb. Okay, number two, jam-packed. It's an expression that means tightly squeezed or squashed into a place, and it can talk about the subject or the object. So, for example, the cinema was jam-packed last night. So that's describing how full the cinema was. It was packed like jam. B. The students were jam-packed into the assembly hall for the graduation ceremony. Number three, knowledgeable. Knowledgeable describes a person who knows a lot. Let's practice the pronunciation. Knowledgeable. 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 Okay, here we go with the next one, number four. To gather. To gather is the verb that really means the same as to collect or pick, as in flowers, and it also means to congregate, when a crowd of people gets together. A. The Wenatchee Indian women would gather grasses to make their baskets. B. A group of protesters gathered in the main square. So you can see two very different meanings. 5. The word pioneer. It means the first person to do something or to settle somewhere. A. The pioneers in this area were the first Europeans to settle and farm here. B. Santiago Ramón y Cajal was the great pioneer in the field of neurobiology. Well, that's the end of my podcast today. Thanks so much for joining me, and thank you for all your emails. And for those of you who have joined me on my Facebook page, which is Anna from A Cup of English. If you have any questions or comments or requests, make sure you email me at acupofenglish@hotmail.com or acupofenglish@live.com, and I promise to email you back. If you're interested, there's the app of A Cup of English in the iTunes market. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.